Been over 2 years since my guest was last in the hot seat. He's since been busy performing with the likes of Missy Higgins, but also recording his third trio album as leader, Pendulum. Jared Masters, welcome back to Now's the Time.
Great to be here again.
Jared, I wanted to get you to announce that last track. And I've got a feeling you probably know who that was.
Yeah, that was had to be Paul Blay on the piano.
That's right.
It's the Paul Blay trio. And Steve Swallow on bass.
That's
and,
right.
Paul Motion on drums.
Barry
Altschul on that
yes.
one. Oh, yes.
Taken from...
So was that the album Closer, or was that...
That's, yeah. That's right. That's right. What's your take on that? That was a piece called Figfoot.
Yep.
From Paul Blay.
It's funny you picked that, because it's probably one of my five favourite piano trio records.
Really?
That album, yeah. And I used to just listen to that every night. For about a year, I listened to that album every night as I was going to sleep.
Is that right? Oh, well, I dug deep into the archives this afternoon at home and came up with the Paul Blay Closer. It was May 2006 when we last spoke, Jared. Tell us what you've been up to since then.
I've been touring a lot, as you said, with Missy Higgins, which has been quite busy, quite time-consuming, as she released a new album and we went on the road and promoted that, which was really great. Good to be involved in that pop world again. So doing,
because you're not a stranger to the pop world either.
No, I have spent quite a bit of time in there over the last 5, 6, 7 years, which has been great. But that was probably the biggest scale thing that I've done in terms of playing in front of really large crowds, and it was great. There was massive crew. I didn't have to carry a keyboard for months. Someone would set it up. Didn't even have to turn it on. So that was cool. It was cool to do something on that scale and have the opportunity to play music in front of so many people. And we had a great band too. She chose a really great band of musicians who I'd known from the scene, people like Dave Symes, the great bass player, and Terrapi Richmond on drums. Phil Slater was on a few tours with us as well.
Really?
So it was interesting. It was like these guys that I've played with over the years, you know, in the scene. We've always played in small clubs and whatever. All of a sudden, you know, we're it's the same guys playing totally different music in front of 2 million people at Live Earth. So
wow.
It was cool. It was a cool trip.
What's it like in that situation when you're introduced to the audiences individually, or is it all about Missy and he's the talent behind me that sort of doesn't get recognised?
Well, to a degree, it's the Missy Higgins show and he's trying to sell the Missy Higgins brand, but I think she really appreciated the depth of musicians and talent that she had on stage with her. So, yeah, she was... She was always really great about letting the audience know who we were and what we did and a few anecdotes along the way. So,
is there a lot of rehearsal involved with something like that, I guess, in contrast to your jazz gig where you really want the spontaneity to come out of the music?
Yeah, well, the start, when we put the band together, there was heaps of rehearsal, kind of every day for like maybe even 4 weeks, because obviously there's two albums worth of music plus a few other EPs that we had to learn and learn it all off by heart. And but basically once that's done, once you actually get on the road, nothing really changes too much. So once you're good to go, you just go and you play the gig at night and then move on to the next town and do the same thing.
Yeah, Well, we're not here to talk about Missy Higgins, but what else have you been up to?
Well, I've made a new album with the trio, and it's the first trio album with our new drummer, or relatively new drummer, Evan Minnell.
What does he bring to the trio that maybe wasn't there before?
It was... Cameron and I went through a bit of a process trying to find a new drummer after Nick McBride left to go to China. We played with some... few different guys who are all great, but as soon as Evan joined the band, it was like, you know, everything just snapped into place.
Because he plays duo with Cameron in a project too, doesn't he?
Yeah, they've got a project called Jacuzzi 88.
Yeah, that's right. So they've obviously got something going there.
They've got a great connection, and you know, they play together in quite a few different bands. So that's a one level that's already there when it comes to my band. It's pretty easy for me just to jump on top of what they're doing. Yeah, well, Evan has just got such a great depth, which I like, to his musicianship. Obviously, like me, he plays in a lot of pop rock groups and he's a great funk player. So that's kind of what I like coming to the jazz. I don't really need someone who just plays great straight ahead jazz. I prefer someone who just kind of plays music and it just happens to be in a band where we improvise.
Yeah. Red Rocket from the pen of...
I wrote this one. This is, I actually wrote this one for the Wangaratta Piano Competition a few years ago.
It brought some thoughts of the early 1960s John Coltrane, McCoy Tyner type sound.
Yeah, definitely. And that Elvin Jones sort of drum feel happening.
Very much so. I've got to ask you about the title of the album and how coincidentally it came out only a couple of months after another album from another New Zealand-born pianist based here in Australia with exactly the same name. Did you have any idea about that at the time?
No, I didn't. I didn't have any idea. We were actually going to release this album a lot earlier than what it came out. So in that interim period, I did find out that Judy was about to release an album of the same name, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? But I thought, well, it's a big world out there. There's probably 10 other albums called Pendulum.
True.
So
true. I think
at least.
Yeah, that's right.
Judy. I found out there's a Richie Bierark. Oh yeah, there is an album called Pendulum as well. He's a New York piano player. So yeah.
Judy Bailey was the other one, if you didn't know. With the three albums to date, your preference has been to remain consistent with acoustic instruments. Do you see yourself plugging in, so to speak, in the future with a trio?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I think that's the plan for the next album. I've got a concept running around in my mind to do the album with heaps of keyboards and get Cameron on the electric bass as well as the acoustic, and probably some synth basses as well. And get Evan on the massive drum set, and maybe some program drums as well. But I'm not really sure how I'm going to do it. I don't want it to sound like, you know, an acid jazz album, or I still want it to have the organic sort of sound that we have with the trio, you know. And I don't want it to be like a funk jazz album or whatever. So it's early stages, but I'm just sort of mulling over ideas in my head. And the other thing is that, you know, it'd be great to go and make an album straight away, but I'm kind of said to myself that I really want to try and promote this album for a long period of time first, because it's very easy for us to make the music. You know, we just have to go and book a studio or whatever, and or do it at a home studio and make an album. But it's actually a lot harder for us as musicians and artists to get out there and promote it and try and sell it.
That's right, and especially, I guess, with the lack of performing opportunities in Sydney to actually spread the word. And
we've got a little tour coming up, which is going to be good. And
I was going to ask you about touring, because Australia has traditionally been quite difficult to organise tours, but how much more difficult now is it given the price of fuel?
It's quite ridiculous. It's quite insane taking a jazz band on the road.
Yeah.
We went up the East Coast in the end of July for a little tour, about a two-week tour. Drove all the way out to Brisbane, had all the gear in a trailer in the back of the car.
Yeah,
I mean, we did it on the cheap. You can, you got to do it as cheap as you can with a little jazz band. So we did all sorts of crazy things, like, you know, when we'd go to book the hotel room, just sort of ring up and say, yeah, just booking the hotel room for one guy for tonight, just need a small single room. And one guy would go, either me or Cameron, go and pick up the key and park the van around the back and then sneak the other guys into the room.
Well, that's the sort of thing that you have to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a reality. It's a commercial reality now. And what about the networking, spreading the word before you get into the gig? I suppose you did a Bellingen gig, did you? Or
yeah, we did. Yeah, Bellingen was fun. There's a great new venue up there at a guy's sort of coffee house restaurant, and it was actually the first gig that had ever happened there. I just happened to be in Bellingen one year at the jazz festival, hanging out at this guy's place and thinking to myself, man, this is a great place. Let's do gigs here. So I rung him up out of the blue. He didn't have a clue who I was. And I said, we're coming on the road. How about we play at your place? And he kind of blindly said, yeah, that's a great idea.
Great.
But it turned out ended out sort of renovating the whole place. He built a stage, got his mate to bring in a full PA, brought down gear, amplifiers.
And knowing Bellingen, you probably had a decent crowd.
It was sold out, yeah. He did dinner and a show, charged everyone $50 to come down and see the band and watch the show, and I think it was like 50 people there. So it's amazing what you can do when you put your mind to it. That's the whole thing with jazz touring. It's an unknown entity, so which is good and bad, but the good thing about it is that you do have the opportunity just to create your own your own gigs.
I think, especially in country areas, people are hanging out to hear it because they don't get to the city and generally don't get exposed to the music at all. So they're hanging out and they just need to know about it and need to know the potential of it, and they do come out.
Yeah, that's right. I'd love to do a lot more of it, so fingers crossed petrol prices might come down.
Let's think hypothetically now, and let's go back to the 2020 summit. And Kate Blanchett has came up with the idea of having a federal minister for jazz, and that ideally it should be someone from the jazz community. Who should that person be and why?
What are they going to pay? It's quite a good salary, isn't it, being a minister?
Well, that's right, I'd say.
I'll put my hand up.
150 to 200,000?
It's an interesting concept, especially seeing as that jazz has always been such a collective entity. And when it seems to be when one person rises up and sticks their head above the crowd, they don't always get quite the reception that they'd
expect. Someone wants to come and chop it down?
Sort of, yeah. Because, I don't know, just something that goes with that art form is that it's so loose and evolving all the time that when one person steps up and says, this is how it's going to be, it's in the nature of the music to rebel against that.
Yes.
So it's quite a tricky concept.
Yes.
But maybe a minister who doesn't necessarily rule with an iron fist, but maybe just says, look, here's a whole lot of money. Let's spread it evenly about it amongst everybody that's doing really creative things, and then just keep doing what you're doing, but just do it with some money behind it. I think that would be the way to do something like that.
You've not only been recording your own music and recording with Missy Higgins, but you've handed me an album here by Alexander Hewitson, and he's a Sydney-based bass player and composer and band leader. There's two other piano players with you on this album.
Yeah, this was a really fun project that happened last year. Yeah, Alex had written a whole lot of tunes over the years, funky sort of tunes. Basically wanted to put a band together to record them. So the band was myself, Matt McMahon on keyboards, Hamish Stewart on drums, Alex on bass, and we just happened to be recording in Michael Bartolome's studio, who's a fantastic piano player as well as a great engineer. And so for one of the tracks, we ended up all playing keyboards at the same time.
Mike Nock has been consistently suggesting jazz artists be placed on the same bill as rock and pop acts to expand audiences. In the same way, I suppose, that Miles Davis played Fillmore in the late 1960s or early 70s, what else could jazz artists be doing better in relation to expanding jazz audiences?
One thing that springs to mind immediately, and something that I've learnt from over the years of working alongside some really great pop artists, is that as well as having great music, they have a great sense of show business about their show and presentation and all that sort of stuff. And to me, that's one of the things that is possibly lacking from a lot of our great jazz bands around Australia, is that, you know, you see some bands and sometimes they almost look like they're a bit embarrassed to be up on stage, and it's kind of apologetic when they're announcing the songs and things like that and say stupid things, you know.
Yep.
You really just have to focus. And if you get that, you know, really confident presentation side, I think that's one of the things that's lacking in this country from jazz performances. It makes you cringe sometimes. And most of the time the music is good enough, you know.
That's
right.
It's
not the music that's letting it down, it's the presentation. And
because there's always that visual thing at live gigs. Neil Finn, Message to My Girl. And they're a big influence on you, aren't they?
Yeah, and they continue to be, and now even more so Neil's son Liam Finn is starting to release his albums, and that's a whole new sub-genre of Finn music that I'm getting into.
Right, oh good.
It's great.
Has he got a name for himself already? Or
Yeah, he's actually, I mean, what a lucky guy. He's not only releasing his own, I mean, lucky and also hard-working, but he's also, you know, released his own album, but he's also getting to tour with Crowded House playing the acoustic guitar the band. So
yeah, well, that's a fantastic opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jared Masters, thanks very much.
My pleasure.